It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller, as we do every Thursday here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can catch him overnights on Fox Sports Radio, and it's all brought to you by the good folks at The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, we have finally arrived. Silly season has officially begun in the NFL. We've got rumors, innuendos, players not happy with their teams, teams not happy with their players. What do you think has been the best rumor so far, my friend?
Well, they're all great. I appreciate all of them. I'd like to spread it out. I say this every year, guys, Bob and Dusty. We get so much of it this week, and then it slows down. The combine week is awesome. It's the nugget week. We get so many nuggets. It's awesome. And I always get a kick out of the executives who say we're not going to talk about individual players after they've already talked about individual players. I always laugh at it. Like the New England Patriots GM, he was asked about Stephon Diggs. I'm not talking about Stephon Diggs. Then he did like 5 minutes on Christian Gonzalez of the Patriots. They're just like, well, what are you doing? And then like these guys, they speak in riddles, which is great. That's how we have jobs here. Like Mike Vrabel, I talked about that on the overnight show. Like he was flirting with AJ Brown, but you can't actually say you want him because he's on another team. And so you got that. The Kyler Murray story this week I thought was pretty good, where the Cardinals GM's like, oh yeah, we've been in regular contact, and then Kyler Murray's agent or somebody leaked, oh no, we haven't talked in months. You know, it's great. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it. And we have more to come. We have a couple more days of this right through the weekend. So that's good.
Yeah, we got a lot to come. And I like the Derek Carr one, that he's going to come back now and play quarterback. And quite honestly, guys, I look at the options that are out there for some of these teams looking for a quarterback. Derek Carr may be your best option out there right now.
Wash your mouth out with soap and water, Bob. What are you doing? Okay, you know, even if you get Derek Carr, you know, he is like, I'm trying to think what the analogy would be. Like in the NBA, you know those guys in the NBA that put up great stats, but they're not winning players? Like there's a bunch of those. I think he will end up, Derek Carr will end up like 250 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, and you'll lose by 10 points. That's Derek Carr, right? You know, he'll give you some good stats, but he's going to melt down. The thingamajig's not going to work in the key moment there. That's, you know, like, I don't understand why that's going to change. And he had offers last year. Remember the Bengals called them before they traded for Joe Flacco. The Colts, before they brought Philip Rivers out of the backwoods of Alabama, said, why don't you come play quarterback? He didn't want to play for those teams. Like, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? Like, I was thinking about this. I did talk about it a little bit on the overnight, but the only teams you would think that maybe would be interested would be the Steelers and the Vikings, who are good, because he only wants to play for a good team. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, the Steelers need a quarterback, and the Vikings, I think they would like to send J.J. McCarthy out in Lake Minnetonka and leave him there. So, you know, they're looking for somebody too.
Ben, when you look at this offseason with all these teams, where do you rank the level of important offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, I think it's huge. They have back-to-back bad years, Dusty. Like, people are going to be yelling for Andy Reid. He's too old. You got to get rid of Andy. Like, hey, you're allowed one bad year. Like, the Patriots, they had one bad year, you know, and then they bounced back because Brady got hurt, and you make the argument Mahomes got hurt, even though they were not a playoff team prior to that. But yeah, I think it's massive. They've got to get, we talked about it last week, they got to get more playmakers and, you know, just fine tune the team. And I think this is a gigantic offseason, because this is the Mahomes prime, and you don't want to wait. You only get so many of those years before he starts getting hurt all the time because he's older, and you got to milk this thing. And so, yeah, don't be pinching pennies now.
Yeah. So, Ben, is it a bigger offseason, though, for New England to come back with a vengeance, or for Kansas City to come back with a vengeance?
Well, I would say both, but if you put a gun to my head, I would say, or a knife to my throat, I would go for the Chiefs, because the Patriots, they came out of nowhere. They were bad for several years. They can go back to being mediocre. But the Chiefs, this is the golden era, right? This is the golden run and all. We've talked about it. I've been on with you guys for many years now, and this is the time to do it. So I would say for Kansas City, if they have back-to-back, again, bad years, and then, you know, who knows, we'll see what happens with Travis Kelce coming up and all that. But you got to get some other options on offense. And Mahomes has got the contract, which are in pretty good shape. I know they're going to redo it, and, you know, they've already redone it a little bit and all that stuff, so to make the numbers work on the salary cap. But it really is – it's the time. I mean, otherwise, there'll be a lot of changes if the Chiefs have another stinker this year.
Yeah, you look at the NFL draft that's coming up, and obviously we've talked a little bit about it being in Pittsburgh and everything like that. Kind of think that, like, the Raiders probably should just do the Mendoza thing. Is that Does that make sense? Like, they should do it. I don't know if people think they can, like, start their franchise with him. But you guys had mentioned backup quarterbacks and who you don't like. And, I mean, I know Kirk Cousins is a bridge guy, but for how long and, you know, in that sort of regard. But I feel like they should just draft Mendoza because of everything he gives you.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the aisle, Dusty. I believe he will be drafted number one, but he's not. Fernando Mendoza, I think, is going to be mediocre. Like, the ceiling is he's like the middle of the pack type of quarterback. I don't see anything there that tells me this guy's got the skill set to be amazing. Number two, though, he will be drafted by the Raiders because of FOMO. If the Raiders don't draft him, Fernando Mendoza, and he goes to the Jets or the Cardinals and ends up becoming great, and I'm wrong and other people are wrong, and he turns out to be great, they'll never hear the end of it. So it's a CYA situation, I believe. That's why he'll be drafted at the top of the draft. I did see, though, I'm sure you saw this too, Dusty, Clint Kubiak, the coach of the Raiders, refused to say for sure they're going to take Mendoza. And I think that's because the NFL, they want them to at least give the illusion that there's some suspense going into the draft, that there maybe they'll
no,
they
you won't don't take him.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think that they are building their franchise in a way, or maybe they've lucked themselves out into this way where they have built their franchise kind of in a way where the quarterback doesn't have to be elite, if you know what I mean. Like, they have Brock Bowers. They have Ashton Jeanty. They've got to get an offensive line first. They've got to build that up. But then, you know, you put those type of pieces around somebody who maybe is an average talent with a good head on their shoulders and experience. I mean, we forget that Mendoza's still like 20, like almost like 23 years old, I think, or 20, almost 24 years old. So it's similar to like the Bo Nix situation. So if I told you, and you're the Raiders owner, and I said, hey, you can have Bo Nix for the next 6 years, you'd sign up today, wouldn't you?
I'm not a big Bo Nix fan either. I'm not. Hey, I mean,
playoff quarterback,
I,
though.
The Broncos, they had some issues in their passing game, though. I mean, he's fine. I don't think he's great. Like the Mendoza thing. I use the word FOMO. Like, you look at this draft. There's a chance. This is only one. There's a one quarterback draft in the first round, right? I mean, I'm starting to look. Don't tell anybody, but I've started to look at the mock drafts. Ooh. I'm embarrassed by that, but I have, and it looks like there's one guy, and maybe I know they're trying to upsell Ty Simpson from Alabama. They're trying to, you know, pump his tires and say that he's a first round pick. But other than that, and he's a fringe first round pick. Like, it's only Fernando Mendoza, and it's like, and there's a bunch of linebackers and wide receivers and defensive backs and all these other positions. So it's really only like one guy that's even being considered right now.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, really, for a draft, you know, that everybody's not swooning over quarterbacks. But I guess it just goes to show you maybe the league is getting a little bit smarter. We're just not going to draft quarterbacks just for the sake of drafting quarterbacks. So with all that and all the offseason stuff with the teams, who's got a bigger offseason ahead of them, the teams or NBC now to rebuild their Football Night in America? Because that show sucked, and now they got rid of at least Tony Dungy off of that thing. For the premier show of the NFL, they need to do better than what they've been rolling out there.
Yeah, it's like plain oatmeal with no nothing on top, no cinnamon, nothing, just plain oatmeal, and you're like, what are we doing here? And I actually give Dungy credit. I've ripped him a lot because he's really bad at broadcasting, but he kept the job for a long time, and I think that's impressive considering that he's not good at it. But they're gonna bring in a new crop of NFL players and whatnot. Now, you know, if they do blow the entire show up, does Travis Kelce retire and go be the star at NBC on their, you know, you can go down that rabbit hole. You know, they're going to need a big name. That's the biggest window of the NFL weekend, the Sunday night. That's where they put all the great games. So they're going to spend some money on it. But yeah, I mean, Dungy, you know, you guys occasionally have to be entertaining. I mean, a little bit. I mean, so good luck. But yeah, they'll find a bunch of former coaches and athletes, and they'll throw them on TV, and it'll, I guess they're going to go on site, I read. So good luck on that. But they should hire us. The three of us can be on the panel. Why not? We're available. We can work a little overtime on the weekends. Take the check. Come on now.
Oh, I'd kill that show. I mean, you just put me on the field so you guys could keep your warm asses in the studio, and I'd be the guy in like the parka or like the, you know, the trench coat down on the field interviewing everybody.
Would you be?
So.
Yeah. Would you be in the Jock Collinsworth role? Would that be
Ben? If you ever compare me to Jack Collinsworth again in our life, I'm never doing another interview with you again. So no, I will not. I'm kidding.
I want to be the guy that's like the weather guy that just points at stuff and everyone likes him.
You can be Kornacki.
Yeah, I'll be that guy.
But everything you're saying is false.
And people love him because he's pointing at the board and he's really a cartoon character.
Hey, what's your level of interest for the World Baseball Classic?
Scale of 1 to 10, Dusty. My level of interest, I'm at a 5.
Okay,
I'm at a 5. I'll watch it, and obviously we need stuff to talk about. My problem is I know the history of it, and I remember when they started it years ago, and because they got bumped from the Olympics and all. But I will give baseball credit. It has become a bigger deal. I remember the first few times they did it, we all rolled our eyes and said, oh, my God, what a disaster. This is so stupid. But now it's got a little mojo to it. So it has gotten better. And obviously you want to see the USA team win. And then you want to see who gets hurt and out the All-Star break.
Some sort of random baseball injury, because you know that's going to happen. But look, for me, the World Baseball Classic, I was kind of with you when it first started. I was like, eh. But the last time we had it with Japan versus the United States, hopefully the players embrace it like the hockey guys embrace playing in the Olympics, because that was a great moment for everybody. And if the players embrace it the way that the hockey players embrace the Olympics, I think then we'll embrace the World Baseball Classic better. But if baseball makes all the baseball excuses for it and all that nonsense that they always do, then it's harder to embrace. I've got to have the embracement by the players, and I think we're seeing more of that now.
Yeah, the comments, if you take them at face value, but they have been very positive. Like, guys are excited about it, and that's the thing too, that I for me, when I covered spring training, I thought that was the great. If you were a baseball player, you showed up early, you got your work in, you left in the second inning, you were golfing or doing whatever. If you're in Florida, go to the beach. And these guys, they can't wait to get out of spring training because they get to go play in the World Baseball Classic, which I know it's in Miami for the U.S. guys and all that. But that's odd. I thought that's a great life in spring training, but they seem to really enjoy the fact they don't have to go to spring training, normal spring training in Arizona and Florida, and go to play in the World Baseball Classic and all that. So, like, they've been, that part of it they like. And hey, I'm there. I'll watch it. I hope maybe I'll go up to a 6. I could go up to a 6. I can't go higher than a 6. I could go up to a 6.
Flirt with us like that. I don't want you to get diving into the World Baseball Classic. You're the mock draft. I mean, I want to know picks 18 to 32 next Thursday.
Oh, I don't watch past pick 10. I only care about the top 10. But I do read the...
Recording stopped.
And that's it with Ben Maller. It is over. After pick 10, we just don't know what's going to happen.
We don't even know what he likes to read. It was over.
And scene. Yeah, Ben Maller.
His screen froze.
Yeah. Which was fantastic. But yeah. As long as we're going to bed after pick 9 this year. You know, that's the good news about, the Chiefs picking where they are. We ain't got to wait around till 32 on draft
day. That is kind of still take an hour to get to us, but yeah.
Oh, an hour?
You're right. 10 minutes a pick. Yeah, you're right. 90 minutes.
Yeah, like I was going to say probably two. Yeah. It takes,
when
long
we get closer,
time.
We'll have to set the over-under around 90 minutes or so and see.
Yeah,
well, see what people feel.
Exactly, because I think it's going to be a lot longer than that. But that's just me. I mean, who knows how fast the picks go. And they moved them to 10 minutes now in the first round, or did they condense them to 7 minutes now in the first round? Because I thought they condensed it again in the first round to move this thing along.
Hope they did.
I think it's 7 minutes.
I think you're right. I think it is 7 minutes now in the first round. I think it goes 7, and then everything else after that is 5, maybe. That could be wrong. Because I think for early days, like 15 minutes between picks. It was ridiculously long.
So 8 minutes.
8 minutes now is the first round.
This is the first year. Yep, they're doing it. Yep, 8 minutes.
Did you see this? Because this is kind of in your neck of the woods. The St. John's game last night?
No, they got mollywhopped by like 40. It was the worst loss ever for Patino.
Did you see why?
Well, they couldn't hit a shot, I would assume.
So this is the stat at the end of the game. They went the final 17 minutes and 28 seconds without a made shot.
College basketball, never better, John Rothstein, huh? I mean, that is your never been better moment right there. College basketball in a nutshell. 17 minutes and 28 seconds without hitting a shot.
Did I stutter?
Yeah, I thought maybe you did, because it was so ridiculously
ridiculous. I immediately thought
ridiculous
of you last night when I saw it. Immediately thought of you.
Why?
Because this is college basketball.
I'm being facetious. No, but that goes back to Rothstein telling us this is the college basketball's never been better. We're like, oh my God, what sport are you watching? 17 minutes and 28 seconds.
You know how many minutes they played a half?
20.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they went basically the entire second half without making a shot. That's hard to do.
Go, Mac.
One word.
First name is Blake, right. And he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise. No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin. Talking about things that made me think of Bob, how about this one? Tony Dungy seemingly out at NBC Sports. One word.
Good, because he sucks. And it's time. That whole show sucked on NBC. I'm not sure if there was anybody on that show that I thought was really good.
All those shows suck to me, but yeah.
Yeah, because what is that? That's Jason Garrett.
Yeah. Florio, Sims.
Sims is okay at times.
Maria Sims is oh yeah, you're right, at times. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes I'm like, what?
Jack Collinsworth, who absolutely has no business being on national television.
Jock,
yeah.
Jock. Called him Jock Collinsworth. He goes, Dusty, do you want to be Jock Collinsworth? Ben? Come on. We've got a bit on this show about that.
But I think that whole thing needs to be revamped. I didn't think there was anybody good on Football Night in America. And I used to really like that show. Tony Dungy, you know, being the first guy to depart that show is a good thing. He was very unentertaining.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even admit who he voted for. Got crotchety. Complained about Taylor Swift. That's why I stopped liking Tony Dungy. I need you in my living room telling me not to watch Taylor Swift.
Rodney Harrison, he was decent or no?
Yeah, like I like some of these guys individually.
I think the keyword was.
Yeah.
I like these guys individually. I just don't like these show formats. I don't know how anyone could be good. But yeah, Tony Dungy does suck. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, but now you got, is Tomlin going to move over there to NBC? Are the Kelce brothers going to move to NBC? Like, I was just reading something this morning. I think it was from Andrew Marchand on X, formerly Twitter. And he goes, this is going to be the best, like, broadcast free agency that we've seen in 4 years because, like, everybody's contracts are up. So there may be a lot of musical chairs that go around between all the networks. And now with YouTube potentially buying a 5-game package as well, you know, there could be more guys getting jobs doing those things.
Yeah, my one word is onward. We're moving on. And I don't care because I don't watch these shows. Like you said, I'm not a huge fan of these. There's one that I like, and it used to be on TNT. And then ESPN
and bought ESPN
it,
ruined, yeah, it. Ruined it.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, yeah. Yeah, good. Major networks don't know what they're doing. They just want to pay people to do something. We gave you a lot of money.
You're a name. Go out there and do something.
Yeah. Right. I just don't know who they're for. Yeah, not
for
me.
I don't watch the pregame shows at all. But like the NBC one was always different for me because I'm so caught up in the Chiefs that when the games were over, that was a good recap of the day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and when the Chiefs were winning, there was a lot of conversation about the Chiefs that you could use as topics. And, you know, they were the star of the NFL world. And so I used to watch that to try to catch up. Or if you're at the game Sunday night, the pregame show kind of allows you to catch up on everything you missed while you're at your game that day. So I always watched that one. I always wanted it to be what Berman and Tom Jackson were on ESPN. And nothing will ever be that.
Less is more is what I would say on that.
Pat McAfee, no less here. $150,000 was the tab that the U.S. men's hockey team put up in a club in Miami. Pat McAfee paid for the whole thing. One word.
Stud. That's awesome, man. Hat off to Pat McAfee. The more that he does like that, the more I love him, and the more it makes people squirm, and that makes me love him even more. I like guys like Pat McAfee who are kind of a cog in everything that everybody's trying to do. He's shown you can do it differently. And paying for that tab, that's a pretty cool thing for him to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's genuine. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure not everybody's a huge fan of his because of everybody has an opinion. Doesn't matter what you think or do what you want to do. But that's cool. I mean, you know, Hosmer and those guys did it in the World Series or in the AL, what was it, the AL wild card game. They went to hang out at McFadden's and just said, everybody go to McFadden's. We got you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I love when those things happen. So, yeah, respect.
This comes from Eric Pincus, a NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Increasing buzz that LeBron James could retire and pivot into ownership as the face of Las Vegas expansion team.
Oh, good.
With Rich Paul potentially selling
Clutch
Sports.
Paul?
help finance the bid. That part so is what's crazier to me. But one word there.
Narcissist. I mean, did anybody think LeBron was just going to retire and still not be a major face of this league?
Timeout. He's going to make his best friend sell his company give him money to buy the franchise in Vegas. Is that what I heard?
I would imagine Rich Paul would also be a part owner.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think.
If you're Rich Paul, what do you do?
Rich Paul does what he wants. So if he wants to sell, he'll sell. He's not doing what LeBron tells him.
What I would do? Not own a team. I'd be like, Josh used to always say, I don't want to own the team. I just want to be rich enough to buy the tickets to the games that I want to go to. And that's where you are with Rich Paul, because when you own a team, A, it costs a lot of money. I mean, it's probably going to be a couple of billion dollars to buy the new NBA expansion teams, and you don't make any money until you sell the thing. So just be rich and buy the tickets that you want to the games that you want.
One word on LeBron James. Richard. Stale. But hey, I like when recent retired athletes get right into the sport. I like that Matt Ryan is with the Falcons. I love that. So I'm not mad about it. I just think it's a new LeBron chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're entering it slowly. I don't think he's going to retire next season. I would be surprised.
No, he's going to get an absolute 1,000% a send-off tour.
Oh, yeah. God.
Like, people that don't think that he's going to do that, it's...
And the league is probably planning it.
And I'll say it, he should.
He should.
LeBron hater, right here, hand up high, he should get that.
Absolutely.
And you'll know you'll get to see him.
Exactly, and you should enjoy it as a Kobe hater.
You think
hater,
he'll play in all the the visiting...
Doesn't have to. Just go out there and acknowledge.
Yeah, acknowledge, yes. Paul Skeens talked about the World Baseball Classic.
Seeing what the men's hockey team did, does that kind of get you even more motivated, like even more excited to be in this type of situation?
Yeah, men's hockey, women's hockey, all the other, you know, golds that we won in the Olympics. We're America, we got to assert our dominance over everybody else. That's what we do. So it's gonna be fun. You know, when I say wins, it's what we do. So gotta keep it going.
It's been a little over a decade.
2026, we still have not figured out locker room audio, but there's Paul Skeens speaking on the World Baseball Classic. It's what we do as Americans. We got to win.
Yeah, absolutely. My one word is America, because he's exactly right about that. Hello, Let's go take the World Baseball Classic. I want to get into something a little bit later on that I think can make the World Baseball Classic maybe better than what they're offering up right now. But yeah, go with that mentality and let's go. Go win the whole effing thing, as they say.
I don't know why that's hilarious to me. Bob Walsh won it bad in the World Baseball Classic. Going to start it for the first time and already knows how to make it better.
Yeah, I do. To get more interest in it? Absolutely. Yeah.
Paul Skeens, leader, right? What a guy. Coming after the Tarik Skubal news of like, I'll pitch against Great Britain and then I'll see if I can convince my boss to let me come hang out with the fellas for the gold game. No, man. Let me talk to you. Be Paul Skeens. Pitch twice. You're fine. You're in your youth. You can become an icon.
You're going to become more of an icon on the WBC stage, Tarik, than you are pitching for the Tigers.
Until he's in New York. For the Mets or the Yankees. I don't know which one he's going to be at. So whoever doesn't get Paul Skeens. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome.
Call out my patriotism. I'm going to see you in the Bronx, man.
Yeah. Then how about this? Jason Tatum playing 5-on-5 full scrimmages right now, 9 months post Achilles surgery.
Yeah, stud is the one word. That's crazy to me.
Nuts.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's the difference between me trying to deal with a sore muscle in my leg versus that guy dealing with a torn Achilles, because I would be scared to death to go out there.
Me too.
I mean, again, I'm having those things now on such a smaller scale from getting, you know, a sore muscle. I just can't imagine now. And I'm living it to a very small extent. But now I get it more than I ever have before. When you get hurt, the mental side is everything to coming back. And the fact that he can do that, it's a tough guy, man. Tough mentally to be able to come back 9 months after tearing that Achilles.
Hard is my one word. I know that I'm hard. We're getting close to NBA playoffs. You're going to throw this guy back in the league, a top five player in the league now?
Excited.
I don't know if he's top five. Top two. Top seven.
I would say, yeah.
Five,
I'd say he's five when he's healthy.
Right there. I would take him over Ant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, I thought I might get roasted for that one.
No, you would on Twitter because they just pay attention to quotes and stuff, and Tatum's not as entertaining. But
they just love dunks, too.
They love dunks, and he makes quotes. Yeah, Tatum's, he's under the radar.
I take Jaylen Brown over Ant.
That's a little hotter, but okay. I love your thoughts. The Celtics bias will agree with you, but probably wrong.
I take Brad Stevens over Brett. I'm kidding. I would keep Brett Veach here as long as I possibly could. Oh, man. We'll get into some Celtic talk tomorrow if you want. Coming up next, we'll get into Smasher Pass here on 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Booth Creek Wagyu, Casey's Best Steaks. Now with two locations, 95th and All and 135th and Metcalf and Shawnee Mission Ford on a mission to do more online at ShawneeMissionFord.com. Smasher Pass is next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Smasher.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
Out of anybody should talk, he should never grab a microphone.
And Dusty Likens.
His ass is foul of all foul.
Weekdays 6 to 10. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5, The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you, my friends over at Park & Go are ready for spring break, and they're ready for you to make that reservation. That's all you got to do is go to Book Park & Go.